sometimes when you're identifying or prioritizing an evidence-based practice, there's going to be only one evidence-based practice out there that is a good match with your learners and your resources. Sometimes there really will be just one clear answer. In a lot of cases, such as this one, I don't think there is one right answer. There aren't clear guidelines here about what aspects of the decision to prioritize over others. So is match with student characteristics more important than match with available resources? In some level, if you don't have the resources to participate in the training or to buy the curriculum or the products, you absolutely can't do it. So that kind of rules it out. Similarly, the level of evidence is really important. Even if something is a very good fit, if there's not evidence that it works well, I wouldn't select it. And so ultimately, I think it really depends, because we don't know the specific of Ms. McAdory's situation. Does she have unlimited resources, which then opens up some different practices that may otherwise not be available to many teachers? What exactly are the characteristics and needs of her student, and how well does that match up? So some of the practices may be ruled out depending on the availability of resources to Ms. McAdory. I'd really look at either PALS or CIRC as prioritized EBPs because of their higher rating from organizations like the What Works Clearinghouse in terms of their effectiveness. So I would probably look at those two practices. And once I knew more about Ms. McAdory's classroom, her students, her resources, try to find which is the best fit for her.